it's been a minute since I have talked to you about the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's because they were on a bye. The Chiefs had a bye week. I think I needed a bye week. I got that. I hope you also took some time to step back, not to worry about the Kansas City Chiefs too much last week, because that is their job. Now this week, we can all come out of the bye week, hopefully with an extra little spring in our step, because I think this is the best chance the Chiefs are going to have for a sense of renewal of this season. The Chiefs sitting at 2-2 and feeling a whole lot worse than that, they can put that first quarter of the season behind them now and go full steam ahead into this game against the Oakland Raiders. We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. I'm on Twitter at JB Briscoe. And that's what this show today is about, is how important is this game? Can a game in Week 6 be a must-win game? What happens if the Chiefs do or don't beat the Oakland Raiders, and how will this game end up happening? Let's start this in a macro sense. Let's take the wide angle here. Let's zoom out before we get into the minutiae about the Chiefs versus the Raiders. Let's talk a little bit about, I guess, the Chiefs versus the Chiefs. Ray Hines, at Big Turf Guy on Twitter, supporter of the show, tweeted me earlier this morning and said, "What are your thoughts for this week's game? My take, if the offense sputters, we'll see the, well, it was in the black hole excuse. Win and we're a half game back of a team that you just beat on the road. Lose and we're three back. Is Week 6 a crossroads game?" I think that's a really good way to put it, or a really good way to ask that kind of question, with it being a crossroads game. Calling it a must-win game is kind of ignoring the nuance of an NFL season and the craziness of an NFL season. Because if you say this game is must-win, then you're saying, well, so then there's no chance of the Chiefs, what, making the playoffs and then making a playoff run? Well, no, of course not. That's not what we're saying at all. The Chiefs could lose in Oakland, be 2-3, and then win against New Orleans in Indy against the Jags, and you know, string together a playoff contending record here. So I don't think you can call it a must-win game. I think it is exactly a crossroads game, though. I think that is the perfect phrase here. The Chiefs got through the first quarter of their season at 500. They are on pace to end the season at 8-8. If you didn't want to do that math on your own, and that's simply not good enough. And as I talked about a lot last week in the Steelers post-game show, which if you haven't heard, I would still recommend listening to, because it's mostly not just about the specifics of the game, but about the season as a whole, the Chiefs can't be good enough. There can't be an acceptance of mediocrity here. And that's what the Chiefs are on pace for. And frankly, with the eyeball test, the Chiefs have been worse than mediocre. In the win against the Chargers, they were getting beaten up badly until Keenan Allen got injured. And then they came roaring back in tremendous fashion, won that game. The win against the Jets, the offense was absolutely mind-bogglingly horrendous. And the pass rush even wasn't good, but the defense got turnovers constantly. The offense, though, still terrible. This does not look like a 8-8 team to me. This looks like a 6-10 team, and there is a big distinction between those two teams, I think. But it looks like a 6-6 team that got two of its wins in the first quarter of the season. The Chiefs have to recalibrate. They have to do a couple of things this week. I have four words in three little phrases written down in my notes here that are vague that I think become specific as you start to think about them more deeply. The words are identity, excuses, and good enough. There isn't a good enough anymore. The good enough cannot be set at contending with the Raiders team, who I thought in the preseason this Raiders team was going to be very good. I've thought through the season they're going to be very good. They are currently very good. They're not going to end the season. Their pace at being 4-1, that's not going to take them to the end of the season. They're not going to be a 13-3 team, but they are a very good team. Something that the Chiefs right now I don't think can claim. You can't say, well, the Raiders are very good. The Chiefs lost by 3 on the road in Oakland. That's good enough. I can content with that. That's inexcusable. That's unacceptable. That is not an option for the Chiefs anymore. The results matter too much, and the way they get to those results also matter. And that's not a contradiction. So hear me out on this if you're stumbling over that. Because I'm saying, well, if the Chiefs play well and lose, I'm saying that doesn't matter. But I'm saying if the Chiefs play poorly and win, the way they play does matter. It's because the Chiefs at this point, back to the first word on that list, the Chiefs have no identity. I don't know what the Chiefs are right now. Neither do you. Neither does Andy Reid. Neither does John Dorsey. Neither does Clark Hunt. No one knows what the Chiefs are right now. Are they a conservative offense with a conservative quarterback and a conservative play caller, even though he's like an offensive genius or whatever? It's an offense with good weapons, but they don't really play conservatively. They're not really putting up a conservative number of points in the way that, or not in the way that you would expect it. They're putting up an incompetent number of points. They're an offense that doesn't look like a veteran, and this is an important distinction, I suppose, a veteran conservative offense. A veteran conservative offense is scoring 24 points every week in the NFL. I mean, that's just how it goes. You're going at absolute worst, like 20 to 24 points on average for a conservative offense headed up by a veteran quarterback. If you look at the New York Jets, which again only scored 3 points against the Chiefs, they've had that mindset put on them, I think, with the veteran, somewhat conservative Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran conservative Matt Forte, the veteran conservative Brandon Marshall. Although Brandon Marshall's a beast, I don't mean to diminish his actual greatness. But if you look at how they started the season, they scored 22 against the Bengals, 37 against the Bills, 3 against the Chiefs, 17 against the Seahawks, 13 against the Steelers. They're having the same problem. They're not doing enough. They started those games against the Bengals and Jets, a very narrow loss to Cincinnati and a big win over the Bills. You saw the sparks of those offenses. I'm not seeing those sparks of the offense here in Kansas City, and frankly, the Chiefs and the Jets seem to be on the same track, on a track out of the playoff conversation by week 15, where they're the names at the very, very bottom of those wild card contending graphics. I'm sick of seeing the Chiefs there. As a fan, I'm sick of seeing them there and knowing that's what we have to deal with, and knowing that that's the normal, that's what we expect. That's frustrating, but even just as specifically as possible, as specific as this upcoming game, I don't know what the Chiefs are. Because they're not that conservative offense that has to score. They're not the Broncos, even. Say, listen, go out there and score 21, 24 points. The defense will hold it up. Because the defense isn't that good. The defense is not good enough for that conservative offense. So it's kind of what, maybe a conservative defense? Kind of a mid-level defense and a mid-level offense? Or a mid-level defense and a subpar offense? If you're nodding your head at any of that, if any of that's going like, yeah, well, that seems about right, that's not good enough! That team's not making the playoffs! Certainly not winning anything in the playoffs. The Chiefs' defensive identity, I think, is the most secure part. And the special teams are great. But the defensive identity, I think, is pretty clear. They've got a gambling corner and a pretty safe corner. Having no Philip Gaines against the Steelers was huge. Not that it really mattered. Wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game, but he's a big part of this defense. Conservative, very good corner. Gambling, very good corner. One good coverage safety in Ron Parker. One bad coverage safety, but pretty good at stopping the run more often than not in Eric Berry. A very talented defensive line. Good middle linebacker play, at least from Derek Johnson. Virtually no pass rush whatsoever. That's the whole defense. I gave you the whole identity of the defense. They're those individual pieces. It's a secondary that can create turnovers, and a pass rush that can't get anything, and in a front seven that can stop the run. Front seven can stop the run. Back half can create turnovers, but they have to do it with no pressure because that's all they can get right now. It's virtually nothing. D4 gets lucky every once in a while. Tom Bahali occasionally gets that right step. But I don't know what the offense is, and it gets even more confusing when you take what you know and with match it with what you think you know. What I know about the Chiefs is that they have produced very little offensively, and I'm going to have to go to this later whenever I'm looking at making my prediction for this, but just in case you forgot, they've had three consecutive putrid offensive performances. 12 points against the Texans, 10 offensive points against the Jets, 14 against the Steelers. Putrid offensive production. I know that. I know that's happened three straight weeks. I've seen it. I just saw it. That has been horrendous. I've seen Alex Smith have a couple of nice moments in the first game of the year. A little bit towards the end of the Texans game, it didn't actually turn into anything. But I've mostly seen Alex Smith struggle. I've mostly seen Jeremy Maclin not be very good. I've mostly seen Travis Kelce not getting enough of the ball. I've seen Spencer Ware turn the ball over. And I've seen everybody else. I've seen, you know, Chris Conley. I've seen him make some nice mid-level plays. I haven't seen anybody make big scoring plays. If you take that, that's what we actually know. And what we actually know about this Chiefs offense is really, really bad. We are in a dark place with what we know from this Chiefs offense. Then match it up with what we think we know, which is the head coach is an if not genius offensive mind. He's a beyond competent one. He's a respected offensive mind. Got a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over and that can make plays with his legs and can make nice can run a conservative offense to the point of scoring enough points to stay in games, especially against mediocre and bad teams. We think we know Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles are a really, really good 1-2 punch out of the backfield. We think we know that Jeremy Maclin is a veteran receiver with sure hands that's produced for years and years. We think we know Chris Conley's on his way up. We think we know that Tyreek Hill is a matchup nightmare. We think we know that Travis Kelce is one of the top five tight ends in the league at worst with star potential, star qualities. We think we know that Andy Reid can use all those tight ends really, really well. The Chiefs have a lot of very good tight ends. We think we know that there's an offensive line with a lot of money in it, a lot of experience in it, and a lot of guys we trust that could protect Alex Smith. We think we know that. We think we know a lot of things that directly conflict, that directly stand up against what we actually know about the offense. And that's where the identity comes in. Because an identity for an NFL offense, or you know, maybe for anything, but let's say specifically for an NFL offense, a team's identity is a combination of what we've seen and what we expect to see, what we know and what we think we know. This was a problem for the Atlanta Falcons last year, at least. Now look at them this year. The Atlanta Falcons, we thought we knew that they had, you know, a young quarterback with some room for improvement, a star wide receiver, some nice weapons out of the backfield. We thought we knew a bunch of that. Just did not happen last year. This year, we're seeing the Falcons be what we thought they could be. We're learning what we thought we knew about them. They're proving those preconceptions to be true. I don't know where the Chiefs are going to land on this, and I don't think it's really going to be in a middle ground. And I said this after the Chargers game, and I'm a little upset that I feel so justified in it right now. We're not going to find a middle ground Chiefs team. We're going to see a team that's playing on either end. We're going to see a team that looks like the first half against the Chargers or the second half against the Chargers. And so far, with the exception of some turnovers in the Jets game, it's been thoroughly the bad side. And I don't even see this team coming to a middle point of saying, all right, this is an 8-8 team. I think we're going to see some inexplicably bright spots. And on the current path the team is on, we're going to see some inexplicable bright spots and a whole lot of really crummy football. Because that's what we've seen. And if you say, well, the Chiefs are better than this, then what you're saying is, I'm putting more stock in what I think I know than in what I actually believe, or what I actually have seen. I believe what I think more than what I've seen. And that's really dangerous. That's a really dangerous mindset. And I feel like if you listen to this show a lot, you've probably picked up on some things with me as a person. And I can say that I'm generally a cynical person. I'm generally trying to find the holes in arguments. I want to know why something wouldn't work out, why something isn't the way we think it might be. And especially when you're talking about any sports teams, but especially football, and now for me, especially the Chiefs, why would you do that? Why would you give that benefit of the doubt? Why would you say, I think this, and that's good enough, even though what I've seen is going very contrary to it. I think we have a tendency to try to grab on to the little shreds of information that will support what we think. I think if you're really optimistic, you'll look at the Chargers game and say, well, that right there, at the end of the Chargers game, the second half of the Chargers game, that's what I believe in. I believe in that part. Okay, that's fine. Wait a second, though. We've got three games of putrid offense following that. And do you believe that the defense is the solution here? I mean, because if you do, that's fine. this defense obviously isn't going to stand up to the best offenses. They got torched by Pittsburgh. This defense has no pass rush. If Justin Houston gets back soon, we'll talk about him a little bit later, then maybe that changes. But I don't think you can say this team will ride the back of its defense. Certainly, if Justin Houston, say, comes back in week 10, you certainly can't say they'll be fine until then without Justin Houston. That's not good enough. Being 500 in week 10, if that's even a possibility, is not going to be putting the Chiefs in a very good position. I'm having trouble kind of rationalizing why I should take what I believed, what I expected from this team with its identity, why I should take that going forward. And that's why this is a crossroads game. And going back to the idea of excuses, there is no excuse to losing in Oakland right now. And or if there is, I don't care to hear it. Why should we care? Why should we be willing to provide those excuses? After this bye week, we're saying, hey, Andy Reid, hey, this offense, you guys have had three and a half putrid games offensively. Just embarrassing, embarrassing offensive performances for 3.5 weeks. We're giving you 2 whole weeks to prepare to go to the team leading your division right now on the road in Oakland. Giving you 2 weeks to fix those problems. I'm not interested in an excuse. We know exactly there's nothing to be excused. We know exactly what the Chiefs are going into here. There are no surprises. There's no, oh well, they were in Oakland. No! No, this is exactly what's happening here. They have to just carry the weight. They're going into Oakland. Andy Reid knows very well what to expect. There's nothing gonna surprise the team going in here. No excuses. It's just a challenge. It's just a challenge they have to deal with. And that's why this game is a crossroads game for me. Also, as far as the offense having 2 weeks to prepare to play Oakland, I'm going to read you through 5 games, the points that the Chargers have given up. 34 points to the Saints, 35 points to the Raiders, 10 points to the Titans, 27 points to the Ravens, 31 points to the Chargers. Now again, the Raiders are 4-1. The only game they lost there was giving up 35 to the Falcons. Points scored each game in the victories. Well, not 35 in a win, 28 in a loss, 17 in a win, 28 in a win, 34 in a win. I would be happy to give up all of those points and be 4-1. That would not bother me one bit as a Chiefs fan. I would be much happier to take that. But if you're taking an offensive genius, giving him 2 weeks to go play a team that gave up 27 points to the Raiders, 31 to the Chargers, 35 to the Falcons, 34 to the Saints, I'd like to believe that aforementioned offensive genius could manufacture, you know, a nice 27 to 30 point outing. And with the Raiders offense being as good as it's been, I don't know if 27 points would be good enough. On the schedule so far, the only game it would have been good enough was against the Titans. Against the Titans in Tennessee is the only time this whole season when the Raiders scored less than 27 points. So I'm not sure. If you said right now, hey, the Chiefs scored 27 points, I would tell you that I think they win. But I wouldn't be completely confident in that. I do think the Chiefs have a better defense than any of these teams they've played so far. They also have a worse offense than everybody except for the Titans. The Saints offense, the Falcons offense, the Ravens offense, the Chargers offense. Those might all be better. Maybe the Chargers aren't. Chargers put up 31 points on the Raiders, though. Regardless of how this game goes, or I guess if the Chiefs lose this game, I will have no stomach for excuses. I will have no stomach for, well, they hung in Oakland against a good team. That's good enough. I have no stomach for that. And if they do lose this game and I have to and I come up for the next show and I'm spitting excuses back, I will be disappointed in myself. Frankly, it's just not going to happen. I'm just over that. As a Chiefs fan, as a follower of this team, as a fanalist of this team, I'm completely over good enough, good effort, nice try. Well, it was a hard atmosphere to be in. You've got to get past that. I feel that way about losing a close game in Pittsburgh. That would have been okay to me. Because that's the game that gets you to 2-2 against a team far superior. But I don't have that excuse for the terrible offensive performance against the Jets. Or the terrible offensive performance in Houston. Or the terrible first half against the Chargers. Against a really, really good team. Against a team that is at home on Sunday Night Football, crushing it. Maybe the Steelers could get you that. Because that's where the Chiefs set for then. But right now, after a bye week with 2 weeks to prepare for a defense that has had its struggles, I will hear no excuses about this game. It will simply be what the Chiefs are. If you say, well, they went on the road and lost, that's not an excuse anymore. We don't even have to call it an excuse anymore. There are no excuses anymore. Simply definitions of what the team is. So if they do go on the road in Oakland, and someone says, well, it was in the black hole, you know, it was a tough game, they lost, that's fine. Actually, feel free to say that. Feel free to point that out. But also, just acknowledge, that's what the Chiefs are then. The Chiefs are a team that can't win in Oakland. They're a team that can't score points against the Jets, or the Texans, or half of the Chargers. That's fine. What happens next? Gonna keep up with the Saints? Gonna be able to keep up with the Colts in Indy? Probably not. Not gonna win in Oakland, you're not gonna win in Indy, or at Carolina, or at Denver, or at Atlanta. Are you forfeiting your road games? If that's not going to happen, if the Chiefs are going to get the season back on track, it's going to start here in Oakland. Otherwise, we're going to start redefining what this team actually is. Maybe then they'll be able to find an identity. An identity as, frankly, a sub-500 team that had a bad season. If that brand of doom and gloom is really tickling your fancy, you can support it by going to patreon.com/RTK. A lot of listeners are already doing this. It's basically a virtual tip jar. You like the show, you go to patreon.com/RTK, patreon.com/RTK. And you give a little bit of money each month to help support me and this show. People are already doing it. Ty Declare, at Ty Declare 44. Andy Simpson. Randy Singh, at Randy_Singh_. Ray Hines, at Big Turf Guy. Derek Vaughn, at D_Vaughn88. Those people are all giving $20 a month to support this show. Cannot say thank you to them enough. The $10 group is Christine Roadlander, at C Roadlander on Twitter, and Todd Sullivan, at Tito Sullivino. And then $5 group is Josh Beadle. $20, $10, $5. If you have something you want to sponsor on this show, you can get in touch with me there. Or on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. On Facebook, at facebook.com/RTK Show. You can also leave reviews and ratings on iTunes, which apparently really helps people find the show. I've heard a lot of other podcasters say that, though I don't know how it works. Most importantly, though, just share the show with Chiefs fans in your life who you think would appreciate it, would like to hear whatever it is that we as a community are talking about, whatever perspectives we're putting onto the games that are happening, games about to be happening, the season as a whole. If there's someone in your life, and I'm sure there is, who could be getting a little bit more of their Chiefs fix, tell them about the show. Shoot them a link and see if they love it or hate it or don't particularly care. But regardless, if you are helping to share this show, support this show, and you are supporting this show simply by listening to the show, I cannot say thank you enough. Now let's talk about the game coming up on Sunday. Starting off with a little bit of news on both sides of the ball for the Chiefs, Justin Houston. Justin Houston was cleared this week to, quote, progress with football-type activity. He cannot practice until at least next week, but I'd be shocked to be him back particularly soon at all. The timetable for his return for him, his knee surgery has been very vague. There was a little bit of hopefulness early in the offseason. Maybe he'd be back very early in the season. He was put on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. That knocked him out, I think, through week 6. We're in week 5 right now, so he couldn't practice until at least next week. But I would expect the Chiefs to leave him on that list for a couple more weeks, then a couple of weeks getting back from practice. I would say right now, without having a ton of perfect logic in it, let's see if we can figure out when we would put Justin Houston returning. After this game, it's we're obviously in Oakland this week, then New Orleans at home, at the Colts. November 6th is the Jags at home, and then it's at Carolina on the 13th. I would say after that, week 11, the Buccaneers at home, then at Denver. Those two games would be the ones I would like to see him back here. I don't think the Chiefs are winning in Carolina. I think they are winning against the Jags at home regardless. I don't think he'll be ready in time for the Colts game. Having him in Indianapolis would be gigantic, though. I think the Chiefs would love to have him back there by week 8, but I simply don't expect it. Having him back week 11 to get up to speed against the Buccaneers, then ready to go to Denver in week 12 and have him ready for the last 5 games of the season there following that game, that would be huge. So I guess the last 6 games, 7 games of the season, I would absolutely take 6 games of Justin Houston, which would include now at Denver, at Atlanta, Oakland at home, at Titans at home, Broncos at home, at Chargers. Houston back for those 6 games at this point would be good news for the Chiefs. I don't expect him back before that. Jamaal Charles, though, has practiced fully this week, and he's expecting to get a whole lot of work. He said something about being 110% for this game, which is, literally impossible just because that's not how math works. But he's one of the most interesting stories of this game to me, just because he's going to be coming to an offense that desperately needs a new spark, and he's apparently back and healthy, and certainly sparky, based off of his career so far. I don't know what I expect him to be, though, coming back from this injury, coming back from this time off. Getting a little work against the Steelers and then getting a whole week off again is great. This is more or less the ideal situation to bring him back. But I don't know exactly what to expect from him. I expect to see him and Spencer Ware both get a significant number of carries, or at least that's what I would be doing in this game. I'm not concerned about Spencer Ware's fumbling problems continuing, although it is incredibly frustrating. I think those two guys need to both get fed the ball plenty of times. I wouldn't mind one bit seeing both of those guys get 15 carries each. And maybe eventually ends up being 20 for Charles and 10 for Ware. But if you wanted to give them 30 carries combined, I would be completely happy to see that, especially against this Raiders defense that can struggle against the run. So I guess to skip ahead a little bit and look at a couple of key matchups here, the Raiders have struggled against the run plenty, and the Chiefs need to be able to set the pace offensively. It's something they failed to do in every game this year except for the end of the Chargers game. Everywhere else, the other team was setting the pace, both on offense and defense for the most part. The Chiefs' defense could get the ball back pretty quickly, could create turnovers so far, especially against the Jets. But I haven't had the feeling that the Chiefs' offense has controlled the game or controlled the pace of a game since the second half of the Chargers game. And the Chargers were in shock at that point without Keenan Allen. The Chiefs have got to be the dictators here. Not like Hitler, but like the dictators of the pacing of the game. You get it, never mind. If the Chiefs are going to control the pace of this game, it's going to have to be with those guys on the ground. Alex Smith and the short passing offense can pace out the offense a little bit. You can sort of say the short passing game is an extension of your running game on some level. But frankly, it's been too inefficient and too ineffective. I want to see plenty of those short chunk plays, small chunk plays, where it's 12 to Macklin, 12 to Conley, 12 to Travis Kelce, those kind of plays that eventually can break out into larger plays. But the run game has got to set that up this time. The Raiders' defense is thoroughly flawed, as I talked about in the open, talked about here. The Raiders' defense can absolutely be beaten, but it's going to have to be a drubbing. It's going to have to be consistently 5 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards, 12 yards. And not just because I don't want to see big plays. I absolutely do. I just don't expect them from this offense. If all of a sudden there's a nice 40-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill, heavens, please, let the blessings rain down. I just particularly not expecting to see any of that. And again, if the Chiefs only, though, the whole game have 2 successful offensive plays and then 2 bomb touchdowns, that's not going to be enough here. The Chiefs' offense has to set the pace. I think they can do that with Jamaal Charles and with Spencer Ware. A fun matchup is going to be to see Sean Smith mostly versus Jeremy Maclin. I'll be interested to see that matchup of hashtag should have franchise tag Sean Smith and now not playing particularly well Jeremy Maclin. If I haven't already said this, pointed this out before, Brandon Kiley on Twitter had a couple of really good tweets about Jeremy Maclin this year. Last year, Macklin's catch rate was 70%. This season so far, it's at 54%. That is a massive drop-off. Also, last year, he was 24th in DVOA among wide receivers. Again, with that 70% catch rate. This year, so far, he is 61st, or he was as of October 8th. Maclin has really been having a hard time not only getting open consistently, but hauling it in whenever he is. He has had a few drops this year, which is something we have not seen in his entire career, and certainly didn't have happen last year. He seems to have some actual issues across the board this year, and that's something that cannot, simply cannot be allowed to happen for this offense. They don't have the weapons to take over Jeremy Maclin's spot, and not just for this year, but for the future. Chris Conley might be developing into a nice number two receiver, but he's a few years out from a number one, if ever getting there. Maybe Alex Smith needs to turn a little bit more of his trust to, say, Travis Kelce. But regardless, that Jeremy Maclin matchup right now, I'm not thrilled to see him going against Sean Smith because he needs to break out of a slump right now. That's something that we have to deal with. And I don't know how wide receivers get quicker again or get their hands back. That's a very rare thing to see happen. I'm hoping it's a small four-game sample size. And we end up looking back and going, "Woo! Remember when Jeremy Maclin had a slow start? Thank goodness that was a fluke." But it's something to keep an eye on. I'm not taking Jeremy Maclin out behind the barn here, but something to keep an eye on with him. Just it's a thing that concerns me currently. Adding it to the myriad of things concerning me on this offense. I mentioned Travis Kelce already. If the Chiefs are going to be able to turn the tables here offensively a little bit, they should know the Raiders struggled to cover the tight end. This has kind of been a meme for years. I feel like now the Raiders struggling to cover the tight end, but it continues this year. Travis Kelce has star qualities. Get him the ball until the Raiders stop him. Assuming that does actually happen, if eventually they do start to double him and chip him off the line like crazy and devote every possible resource to stopping Travis Kelce, then find Demetrius Harris and rest Ross Travis and James O'Shaughnessy and then start running the ball a different direction and then start going back to Maclin or Conley or maybe stretch the field with Tyreek Hill. The infuriating thing about this offense is I feel like, and this is ignorant and self-aggrandizing, but the frustrating thing here is I feel like I could run this offense. I feel like with what I know about Alex Smith and the weapon, and I know I couldn't, I know I'm wrong. With what I know about Alex Smith, what I know about the weapons on this offense, what I know about every defense coming in, and I watch a whole less game tape than Andy Reid does, and both of his offensive coordinators, etc., I feel like I could run how these, I could make these game plans. Not specifically, I couldn't drop the plays, but I could say, "All right, Alex, let's spend some more time getting the ball to Travis this week, okay? Great. All right, I'm gonna go grab a sandwich." And I know I'm wrong. I know that's stupid. It's totally stupid. And ridiculous. But don't you kind of feel the same way as a Chiefs fan? Don't you kind of feel that? Like, well, like, of course I couldn't really be the head coach of an NFL team, but I know how the Chiefs could make this offense better. Maybe we're missing something, but the offensive line has struggled, but I actually don't seem to, I might be alone on an island here, but I don't particularly think it's the largest issue. They've also had some injuries. I'll be interested to see who ends up actually playing on Sunday, as the offensive line has a bye week to get healthy. But they've got to be picking on the weaknesses of this Raiders team, which is a pretty poor run defense, having a pretty hard time covering the tight ends. And if as they try to slide to fix those problems, then you start to exploit the holes that they allow to build open. If they devote a ton of resources to stopping Travis Kelce and Jamal Charles, then somebody else is open. Then Tyreek Hill or, God forbid, Albert Wilson is open. Just got to find those matchups. For some reason, the Chiefs haven't been able to do that this year. My largest concerns on this team, I have three large concerns for this game. First being, the pass rush has not been good at all this whole season. It's putrid. The Chiefs have a really terrible pass rush right now. They may be able to generate something here or there, but it's frankly rare. And Oakland has done a pretty good job at keeping Derek Carr standing up. And I'm not even going to talk about Derek Carr very much, but he's been very good. I have some healthy fear of Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio, frankly. I really like the attitude of the Oakland Raiders this season. They're not just like edgy and risky, but they're also good. With all that being said, I think the Chiefs have got to get to Derek Carr a little bit. They've got to create a little bit of a pass rush, something for him to be afraid of, because if you give him enough time, he's going to find the other thing I'm afraid of, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Amari Cooper has absolute number one receiver star qualities. His first touchdown of the year was last week, though. Michael Crabtree has been totally emergent this year. Derek Carr seems to have a great connection with Crabtree. There are two guys there ostensibly lining up from alternating between Marcus Peters and Philip Gaines, maybe occasionally moving into the slot, and Steven Nelson has to deal with them. Those are some real weapons and some guys that Carr has some real chemistry with, guys that Carr can find, guys that will get open, and then Carr can put it in the window. That's going to be very difficult. I think the Chiefs secondary is as well equipped as they could possibly be to deal with those guys. What's going to matter is, can the pass rush make that job a little harder on Derek Carr? As of right now, I don't know why you would believe that they will. And that's my big concern there on defense. On offense, Khalil Mack is an animal, and the Chiefs' offensive line has had its struggles. The Chiefs' entire offense has had its struggles, which I cannot stop talking about, apparently. They've got to be able to keep Khalil Mack, just keep him from being the star of the game. He'll probably have one or two sacks. Like, I would definitely take the over on half a sack. I might take the over. Predictions, I would say he gets two sacks. But they have to keep him from being the absolute wrecking ball star of this game. He's the star of the defense. He's the star of this. He cannot be the star of this game if the Chiefs want to actually get a victory here. I'm more concerned about the Raiders' offense, obviously, than I am the Raiders' defense. But frankly, my two biggest concerns in this game are the Raiders' offense and the Chiefs' offense. Those are the two ways the Chiefs don't take this game. Ultimately, heading into actually a prediction here brought to you by mybookie.ag, I think the Raiders win this game. And here's... I hate it. Raiders 24, Chiefs 17, prove me wrong, please. Charles returning is great. Jamal coming back feels like it should be a touchdown advantage for this team. I want to be able to give that boost, but do you honestly have faith in Jamal Charles being used well? The stat I mentioned earlier is the thing I have the most difficulty dealing with right now. The Chiefs have had three consecutive putrid offensive performances, and that does not give me any faith in this team. In case you forgot, it was 12 points against the Texans, 10 offensive points against the Jets, 14 points against the Steelers. A 24-17 game for the Chiefs, 17 points would be a scoreboard exploder. You kidding? 17 points, woo! Champagne, pop it! And I know this is a prediction, not just an observation, but I will not predict an Andy Reid offensive explosion until I see it. At this point, I've seen too much to say, well, I think this. Right now, what I have seen is taking precedence over what I think or what I hope. So in this case, I'm going to say it. I'm going to go ahead and say Raiders 24, Chiefs 17. It's in Oakland. I think the Chiefs win in Kansas City when they rematch later on Thursday night. I think the Chiefs win that game probably. But in Oakland, why would I say the Chiefs are scoring more than 17 points? Because the Raiders' defense stinks? Great, that's good news. Hasn't really mattered much so far. I haven't even seen sparks of this offense in the last three games. I haven't even seen the things to be optimistic about. It is so barren. And I will not feel foolish if the Chiefs win this game in any margin. If the Chiefs win this game 30-14, if the Chiefs win this game 13-10, if the Chiefs win this game 27-14, 24-17, there's no margin of victory the Chiefs could have here that would make me feel foolish on Sunday. Because I go, oh, great. There's the thing that we haven't seen yet. There is, if the offense is good at least, there's the offense taking over a game. Haven't seen that yet. Or there's the defense getting a pass rush that we haven't seen yet, winning a game. I will not feel foolish if it is 30-3. I'll feel great. And as a prediction, I will say, yeah, I was perfectly right to not bet on that happening, to not predict that happening, because why would I? What have we seen so far to think that should actually be how it goes? Giving a prediction, I think the Raiders win. I really hope I'm wrong. Hope the Chiefs prove me wrong. If the Chiefs do win this game, then the rest of the season has a little bit more hope to it, but it's going to matter how they win this game if they do. If they lose, I'm not really sure it matters anymore. Because a 2-3 team, they've got a lot of ground to make up. I'm not going to be super concerned about, you know, if they lost it 30-28 or if they lost it 30-2. Neither of those things are really going to affect that too much. It will be a little bit different. You'll be able to see, well, here were the positives, here were the negatives. But the biggest thing here is the victory and then what we can take away from that. But if I had to bet my life on it right now, I'm not even going to bet that the victory happens. I think the Raiders win this game, and I would love, love, love to be proven wrong on Sunday. Going around the AFC West is going to be really easy because we just covered two of the teams. The other two teams played last night. is on Thursday Night Football. The San Diego Chargers beat the Denver Broncos at home 21-13. This is great news for the Chiefs because I'm not afraid of the Chargers. I mean, if the Chargers become contenders with the Chiefs for a spot, then the Chiefs are in huge trouble anyway. And the Broncos are obviously ahead of the Chiefs in the standings. Them losing is always good news. This was not a normal type of game, though, and it also, I think, winning at home on Thursday night should always be expected for every team. Even the Browns, if the Browns are at home on Thursday Night Football, you go, well, they've got a chance because it's a tiny, tiny short week, and they're the home team. They've got the advantages here. I think part of that rang true in this game. But for the Broncos had 3 points entering the fourth quarter. They scored 10 of their 13 in the fourth, when it felt like, frankly, the Chargers had really had a nice pacing through this game. They controlled the clock early. Rivers threw a touchdown in under 200 yards, but it didn't matter because the offense moved pretty well. Melvin Gordon, 27 carries for 94 yards. It wasn't a flashy game by any means, but it was an effective one. The touchdown drive took 8 minutes. They had a 10-minute long field goal drive. And then three straight field goals again after that. The only score after that for the Chargers was a safety. The Chargers ate up the clock, and they forced Trevor Siemian to become his true Trevor Siemian self. Siemian threw 50 passes. He was 30 for 50 for 230 yards and a touchdown. The Denver Broncos offense could not keep the ball moving, could not keep it going. In fact, their only scoring of any points before the fourth quarter was a field goal on four plays, meaning a three and out. That was their only score of the first three quarters of the game. In fact, they didn't score until 8 minutes left. Their touchdown came 8 minutes left in the game when it was really over. This is good news because I think we see what the Broncos offense can be limited to. And the Chiefs beat the Chargers, which is nice. But again, I think if the Chargers either kept Keenan Allen the whole game, or frankly, at this point, if they would have just had no Keenan Allen the whole game and prepared for a life without him, they might have been able to contend with the Chiefs then. But it's good news. It's what we want to happen every week, which is to see the Broncos lose. Chargers winning doesn't bother me one bit in this instance. And now the Chiefs have to take care of their own business in Oakland. The AFC West is very self-contained this week. The Chiefs have a great chance to absolutely maximize on it. At this point, I'm really concerned about the possibility of that actually coming to fruition. You ever put some money on a football game and scored a big win, only to have to wait weeks to collect your victory cash? Now there are thousands of online players eliminating that wait time by switching over to MyBookie. You can go to mybookie.ag. Stop wasting your time on other websites. Play live, partake in the in-game betting, and watch the odds change in real time. When you win, enjoy no-hassle payouts so there's nothing holding you back from your victory money. Join now and get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar for up to a $1,000 matching. Plus, if you sign up and make your first deposit within the first 30 minutes, you get another 10% bonus. What does it take to get that? Just sign up and use the promo code KICKER for your 100% bonus up to $1,000 and do it in your first 30 minutes for another 10%. Remember, use the promo code KICKER. You can visit mybookie.ag today or call 844-900-BETS. That's 844-900-2387 to open your account and start winning today. Use the promo code KICKER to get your 100% deposit bonus and show the good folks at MyBookie that they're spending their money wisely when they support this podcast. Expert or rookie, you've got to check out mybookie.ag. Sign up today with the promo code KICKER. That's going to do it for this Raider Week preview episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on arrowheadaddict.com, on Blog Talk Radio, on Stitcher, on iTunes, wherever you can find it. I am your host, Joshua Briscoe. As always, thank you for listening. You can give me your takes and takeaways after the game on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. You can always say whatever you think about the show, whatever you're feeling about the show, me, or the team. I am an open book and always open to hear from you on Twitter, at JB Briscoe, facebook.com/RTK show, on patreon.com/RTK. Let me know if you feel like I've gone too doom and gloom with this team. I just have the expectation of it being better than it currently is. And if the Chiefs go to Oakland this week, lay an egg, and then come out of it, I will not be a shelter for their excuses for this team ends up now. At this point, it's just all on the table. We've seen 4 weeks of this product. Now it's time for the Chiefs to take this bye week to turn it around. And now we'll actually find out what we have to expect from the rest of this season. As always, thanks for listening. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I'll talk to you after the game. Bye, Mom. Sir, but could you drop the bass?